Salem, just 4 or 5 years old. Here's a lady that's 98 years old. And there's a gap there. But there's something to be handed down to the next generation. Heritage is important. And I praise God for it. And we are a family. Amen. We need one another. And we're going to need more one another more than we've ever needed. Going to ask Brother Richie Honeycutt, he pastors the Landis Baptist Church in Landis, North Carolina, to preach for us. And if you would, go about 25 minutes this morning. I love you, brother. Appreciate what you mean to camp meeting. Amen. Appreciate your people being here.
Amen. It's good to be here this morning. I certainly thank the Lord for the good preaching, the good singing that we've heard thus far. I was thinking while the brother was preaching, to my knowledge, I don't think he and I have ever met or talked, maybe not spoken much. But when he said, it'll work, I heard his daddy in him. I've heard that before. And I thank the Lord for what we get from one generation to the other. Thank the Lord that some of that got in me somewhere along the way. And I bless his name for that. If you have your Bible, Psalm chapter number 119 this morning is what's in my heart. Felt like Brother Epps yesterday when he said, if this is the wrong message, I'm too far in it now to turn back. And he was already preaching. I sort of feel that way before I've even started. If this is the wrong message, it's too late now. It's what I've got and what's in my heart. But Psalm 119, verse number 65 is where the Bible has led me this morning. It said, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Father, I thank you for the day, for this privilege to stand in this place. We need your help this morning. I pray, God, for your direction, for your leadership. Pray, God, you'd give us utterance, give us unction to preach, Lord, what thus saith the Lord. Leading God in all it's done this morning, we'll be careful, Lord, to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach this morning, if the Lord would help us here, for just a few minutes out of this stanza that David has written to us. And studying this book, I preached through it at our church. It probably took me over a year to preach through this chapter. And I want to try to look this morning at something that may be a little different. We know that the theme of the chapter in itself is about the Word of God. It certainly gives us many things over and over about learning the Word of God, being taught the Word of God, how precious it is, how valuable it is, and it certainly is all of those things. But David mentions some things here in this little stanza that I've read to you that are jumped out at me and have helped me in my life, and hopefully this morning we can help you some way. The thought that is in my mind and in my heart is this: there are benefits in affliction, benefits in affliction. And I know that sounds odd and sounds almost crazy to even say, because none of us enjoy affliction. None of us enjoy those places that we're taken to where it seems as though we get depressed and downhearted and all of the things that come with afflictions. But there are some benefits of affliction. The verse that's in my mind is verse 67, and of course we'll look at some others this morning as well, but David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. The word affliction in itself is the word, it means the cause of continued pain, whether that be of body or mind, as sickness, as losses, etc. It is an instance of grievous distress. It is those times that we would call sorrow. It is that time that we would say that we're in misery or misfortune. Trouble or hardship has came our way. And David here in this text and all through the chapter of Psalm 119, it seems you'll find David in different positions in his life. There are times that you can almost hear depression in his voice as he writes about how precious the Word of God is. Other times, in verse 81, he said, "I'm about to faint for thy salvation." Up and down, David seems to be at different times in this chapter. But here in these verses I've read to you, David said that he was afflicted. He said he was troubled. He was sorrowed. He said that trouble was a continued trouble, a continued affliction, one that just was not going away. But the words here that David said, he said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." He said, "Before these afflictions came, I lived in peace. I had plenty. I knew no sorrow." But he said that lifestyle, that way of living for him, caused him to go astray from his God. Amen. Oh, sometimes I feel like I'd rather just live in peace and harmony and never have an affliction, never have a trouble. Oh, but it's in those times that often we become in peace and harmony, thinking nothing bad can ever come our way. But David said in those moments, he said it, that's when he went astray. One writer said, sin is going astray, and we are most apt to wander from God when we are easy and think ourselves at home in the world. Oftentimes, I'm afraid that is the case for the child of God. We've settled down here like we're going to be here forever. It said to me as I was just a boy, somebody said, "Don't drive your tent pegs too deep here. We're not staying here very long." But it's in those times when we become comfortable in the world, when we become comfortable with our surroundings and the things that we're involved in, it's seemingly in those times that we go astray from God. Could I have a bottle of water, brother? It's those times when we are away from God that affliction comes from to us, and that affliction seems to distress us and burden us. Sanctified afflictions humble us, for sin could humble us for sin and show us the vanity of the world. They sometimes soften the heart and open the ear to discipline. The example of this is the prodigal son that we've heard so much good about this week. The preaching has been outstanding, but that prodigal lay there in his affliction in the hog pen. He lay there when he came to himself and realized that this affliction had opened his eyes to the good that was back at the Father's house. I agree with the writer when I say there are sanctified afflictions that move us back to God. In verse number 67, we can see even whether it was a very brazen sin or whether it was something that David slipped into without even knowing, there is somewhat of rebellion that can be found in the child of God if we're sitting at ease all the time. I've pastored a Baptist church going on 20 years now, and the fact of the matter is this, there are many times when God's people are just at ease. They're satisfied just exactly the way things are. Nobody's looking to get any closer. Nobody's looking to get any better. They're saved and on their way to heaven, and they're at ease in this world. Listen, they've even become at ease with rubbing shoulders with sin. I mean, they've come to the place where they think it's all right, and they rub up close to it, and the next thing you know, they look like the world, they smell like the world, and
friend, the reality is they are in the world. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, and it wasn't long until he was right in the middle of that mess. I'm telling you, when we become at ease, you better look out. A sanctified affliction is on its way, because you are in rebellion. But those afflictions humble us. They bring us to a point of realization as to who we really are and to what is really taking place in our life. You see, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. He said, but now I have kept thy word. This sanctified affliction had brought to David his return to the God that he loved, the God that had saved him, the God that had watched out for him day after day, the God that had protected him, that God that had anointed him and set him apart for his service. And it was the affliction that brought his return. Many days in my life, we have become at ease with our surroundings. And before you know it, a service here, a service there, it's just easy not to go anymore. A service here, a service there, a little word here about someone, a little word there about someone, and the next thing you know, you've started some tale that doesn't even have any truth to it. You didn't mean to, but you were at ease there with your sin and with the world, and the next thing you know, you're in deep. Testimony after testimony has been given. That affliction came and opened the eyes of those that at one time walked close with him, but they had strayed far away. But were it not for the affliction, they would have continued in the sin. They would have continued to rebel. They would have continued to go away. And friend, there are benefits in affliction. David said in Psalm 18, verse number 6, he said, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. David again said in Psalm 120, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. When that affliction gets a hold of you just right, that's when you'll look up and realize that the Father is still at the house. The Father has hired servants that are living better than you. Hey, that affliction is brought to you that you might see where you really are. Preacher, it sounds like you're saying God sent the affliction. Sounds to me like that's what David said. See, down in verse 75, David said, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. I want to say this about that verse. I'm glad, thank God, that he's not just passing out afflictions to hurt us, but rather he's giving them out in his judgments. And that David said those judgments, those afflictions are right. Say, preacher, I'm going through a hard time. I'm struggling, don't know why. I'm in distress, it seems like, and nothing's going right. David said his judgments are right. It's not wrong that you're distressed this morning. Amen. Not if you believe God. Amen. I believe it's been said, I don't know how many times here in the last 2 weeks, I believe in a God that's sovereign. He's in control. He guides my life. He directs my steps. The Bible said that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And listen, I'm telling you, when you come into affliction, when you come into distress, He's not wringing His hands. He's not sweating about the situation you're in. He's not getting gray hair because of the mess you're in. He's getting you ready to get you out of that. David said he did it in faithfulness. Faithfulness he afflicted me. I'm glad this morning that He's a faithful God. Lord, Him. Any of you other preachers get so many things on your mind before you preach and then you can't remember none of it when it's time to preach? Amen. Had everything together and in line, wanted to look good in front of all y'all, you know. But listen, verse 65, here's what David said about these afflictions. He said, Lord, Thou hast dealt well with Thy servant. What David was saying is that He has done an agreeable work in me. He has done a work through the affliction that I can see has made me better. Those afflictions while you're in the midst of them seem like that they're going to tear you limb from limb. But when He's through, when He's done and you've come out on the other side of the storm, when you've crossed the top of the mountain, you'll look back and say, oh God, Thou hast dealt well with me. Oh, goodness. Let me tell you this. About a year ago, well, a little more than a year ago, I had a mess go on in my life and things I was dealing with related to church and different things. Matter of fact, I was still whining and pouting about it at camp meeting when I come down here. I was having a hard time. Lost 20 pounds in the process, which, by the way, I got all that back. Amen. Thank God for that. I like to eat, amen. I mean, I was going through some stuff, and in the middle of that, I got done preaching one Sunday. And when I got done preaching, this fella from the church walked up to me, hardly ever says anything. And when he came up to me, he got me by the hand. And he said, preacher, I don't know what you're going through. He said, but our church is better because of it. I looked at him and said, dear God, I think you've lost your mind. I did not understand that. I could not figure out how to apply that to what I was going through. And it was not until just about a month or so ago, a preacher was preaching revival at my church, and he got over there talking about Paul and that thorn in the flesh. And he said this. He said, God gave Paul a gift. He said He gifted him that thorn, and he said that thorn caused him to pray. That thorn caused him to read. That thorn caused Paul to get closer to God than he'd ever been. I mean, he called on Him on a regular basis about that thorn. And when he was done, he was better because of it. And in that moment, it dawned on me that distress can help us be better for Him. Now, I still don't like it. Amen. And if you're a church member that causes your pastor trouble, you ought to quit it. Amen. That's simple, isn't it? You ought to just quit it. You ought to get right with God and let Him preach. Amen. But the reality is, when those affliction times come, when those times of distress come, God is dealing well with us. Several years ago, when I first started pastoring, I went to the hospital. Fellow was having surgery. Going to just do exploratory on his, oh Lord, it's left me somewhere right in here. Anyway, they went in there to do the surgery. Less than an hour, they came back. And the family said, boy, that's good. It didn't take as long as they told us it would. Oh no, it was bad. They closed him back up. They said, there's nothing we can do. And And I looked up, coming down the hall, come one of his daughters running as hard as she could run, crying to the top of her voice. I mean, squalling out, crying. I reached over and grabbed her. I said, "What is going on?" She said, "Daddy's going to die. Daddy's going to die." And while I was calming her down, there come the other sister doing the same thing, running as hard as she could. I held her, reached and got her, and said, "Wait a minute." We went back where Mama was. They were in distress. They were agonizing. And that doctor looked at me like I was an idiot, like, "Ain't you gonna do something?" All I knew to do, Brother Steve, we got down on the floor and called on the Lord. Just said, "Lord, we're in a bad place, and we need your help." Now listen, the story don't get better. He died a month later, but I held his hand when he was dying, and he looked up at me and said, "Preacher, I've done seen my grandson." And he said, "I ain't never seen such a place in all of my days." I said, "I'll see you there." He said, "I believe you will." And in just a little while, he went out of here. What I'm saying is, there are stressful times, there are hard times, but like David, we can cry unto the Lord with the assurance that he will hear us. Verse 67, before, he said, "Before I was afflicted." One writer said it like this. He said, "Before I was to be occupied, before I was so busied about and was brought low, before I became oppressed, before I went astray, before I committed sin," he said, "that's when I was afflicted." He said, if the children of God did not know what was best for them, they would perceive that God did that which was best for them. But listen, another writer said, by affliction, God separates the sin which he hates from the soul which he loves. Amen. Thank God that he's that kind of a God that'll separate the sin from the sinner. Hallelujah. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. It was the straying that brought affliction. It was the mind wandering that brought affliction. It was us becoming occupied with other things that bring affliction. It was when we turn our backs on him that we are afflicted. I wonder this morning if anybody come to camp meeting this year like I came last year, distressed and downhearted. Probably the closest in all the years I've pastored to ever just closing my Bible and saying, "I can't do this anymore," and walking away. I'm not talking about walking away from God. I'm talking about walking away from the place I was at, closest I probably ever came to saying, "I can't do this anymore." But I'm glad that in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, he speaks not of learning, which is gotten by hearing or reading of God's word in these verses, but rather he speaks of learning which he had gotten by experience, that he had felt, and the truth and comfort of God's word was more effectual and lively in trouble than it ever could be while he was just sitting comfortable on a pew. That love and that peace, it becomes more real in times of affliction than it ever is when we're just sitting comfortably. I didn't think I'd ever say words like that. That it, in those storms, I feel sometimes more at peace than I do in the calm times. And that's not got anything to do with me or you. That's got to do with him. Why would he do such as that? Because he loves her. Amen. And he's not going to push her off of the shore into the midst of a storm to try to hurt her. But rather, everything he does for her is to help her. and make her better. And I'm like Brother Dana. I love her. And I love him. And I love the Holy Ghost. I don't hop a whole lot, but hallelujah, I love the Holy Ghost. And I appreciate his help that he gives us on a daily basis. What a Savior. What a Lord. What a God that would care enough about you to afflict you, to cause you to return to him. Well, I don't know if that was right or if it was wrong, but it's what is in my heart. And I love him. Amen. I appreciate the Lord this morning.